I said we have a great show, and we do have a great show, but sometimes, and especially this week, I kind of hesitate to call it a show because it implies that what we do here is entertainment. I've heard Randy Rhoads say, I'm just an entertainer, and everybody kind of hides behind this thing on progressive radio. They're just entertainers. And maybe I want to glorify what I do more than what it actually is. But I want to do more than just entertain. Now, don't get me wrong. I want to be entertaining, or why bother listening, right? But I don't want what happens here to just be about entertainment. Because we've already got so damn much of that in our culture, and it drives us to distraction. I don't want to be a part of what drives us to distraction. I mean, it's become an obsessive, compulsive disorder for us. Movies, TV, reality TV, game shows, talk shows, video games, technology, gadgetry, the latest cell phone, the software update, iPad, celebrity gossip, on it goes. My God, man, we're like mainline drug addicts who just cannot get enough of what doesn't satisfy. And so I don't want to get up on my little microphone and, you know, play Bob Hope while Rome is burning. Because Rome is burning, right? You get that. I mean, I don't know if you've noticed, but we are under attack. And our democracy is hanging by a thread. Because the very wealthiest among us have succeeded in deliberately breaking the moral and financial backbone of this country. That's what I want to talk about. So that now, after bankrupting the country with five wars on credit and a decade of tax cuts for the rich, Republicans and Democrats are now agreeing that we can't afford good government anymore. You know, we can't afford to educate our children. We can't afford to pay our teachers a living wage, or our firemen, or our police people. We can't afford to provide a safety net for our seniors anymore. We can't afford to take care of our sick. And now the latest thing is we can't even afford to take care of the victims of natural disasters. Sorry, we're just out of money. But we can afford tax breaks for the wealthiest 2% of us. We can afford to fight, as I said, five wars and maintain 800 military bases around the world and give over $100 billion in tax subsidies to oil companies and spend $4 billion on presidential elections, none of which does a damn thing to help the very interest this democracy was initiated to serve. That's right. It's the people. We are living through our let them eat cake moment in America. But we are so buried in distractions, so occupied with our entertainment, so completely neutralized by the hypnotic trance that the American circus has us in. It's like we can't wake up. And so now Marie Antoinette, she just kind of rides off into the sunset eating truffles while we stare into our iPad. You see, but I say off with her head. And I guarantee you, there's no app for that. I mean, as I was preparing for the show this week, I kept looking for stories to bring on, and I found myself getting mad as hell. And not because there wasn't enough to choose from, but because there was way too much to choose from, and none of it seemed to matter. Should I talk about Anthony Weiner's Twittered Wiener? Should I talk about the absurdity of Rand Paul taking a stand against the Patriot Act while Harry Reid gets up on the Senate floor and says anyone who votes against it is aiding the terrorists? Should I take an hour to talk about how Governor Christie, the New Jersey fat cat of fiscal responsibility, took a police helicopter to his son's baseball game? Or should I take a more compassionate stand and talk about the heartbreak of Joplin? I mean, there's real heartbreak there. Or how about the non-global warming tornadoes hitting Massachusetts on opening day of hurricane season? I mean, where does all of that get us? Round and round we go, talking about the same old crap every day on the same old shows with the same old villains and the same old victims. And all we get is this wet, sticky feeling that reminds us how helpless we are, that reminds us that we are no longer in control of our own fate, that our country has been stolen by a radical gang of corporate thugs who rub our noses every day in the apathy and powerlessness that has become all of us. So I don't want to talk about the political gossip of the day. I don't want to dignify anyone with my errand time who wants to give health coupons to seniors and then let them die in the streets like forgotten dogs. I can't have that conversation. What can I say? And I definitely don't want to talk about anyone's Twittered wiener. See, because what I want to talk about is revolution. I want to talk about mad as hell until we're rising up in the streets to let the people who have seized our beloved country understand that we will not take it anymore. And the last time I remember that happening in this country was in the 1960s. That's right. I want to talk about the 1960s. Were you there? I was, kind of. I was only a boy at the time of the 1968 Democratic Convention in Chicago, but I remember seeing it on TV, and I got the drift. There were young people in this country who were mad as hell, who felt that something, even from their affluence, had gone terribly wrong, and that they were willing to risk their lives to change it. They didn't talk like the grown-ups around me, and they sure didn't look like them. But somehow, even at my young age, I sensed they were right. And as I grew up, I emulated them, you know? I grew my hair long, I started saying man and far out. I wrote words like love and peace on my school notebooks and learned a reflexive mistrust of the establishment. I mimicked the righteous indignation around me until I understood what was going on for myself, until I had to watch heroes like Martin Luther King and Bobby Kennedy get murdered on national television. And then I knew in my gut what everyone was so upset about. And as I got older, I learned about John Kennedy and Malcolm X and the Chicago 7 or 8 or 10. And it started to make sense to me as part of a pattern. That we were under attack. Some of us were being strategically removed, others targeted for assassination, and all of us, traumatized into submission. I couldn't wait to get older so I could join them, but by the time I was a teenager, it was pretty much over. It was the mid-70s, and all that was left was the excesses of drugs and the confusion of narcissistic, alcoholic family dysfunction, And it made it seem like all some kind of terrible mistake, you know? I was crushed. In my mind, in spite of all that I had been assured was true, love had not found a way. Many years later, I saw an interview with Claude Brown, author of Man, Child, and the Promised Land, who said that after Bobby Kennedy was shot, there was no hope left to give the next generation. That was my generation. Because even then, it seemed to me that what had just happened, what ended 5 minutes before I got there, was something important, something unprecedented. That a last chance gust of human potential had blown through the world that could have changed everything. I saw it as a wave of love and cooperation that required an unrelenting fierceness. And I saw that fierceness in the faces and voices of people like Abby Hoffman, Jerry Rubin, Bobby Seale. And even though those men frightened me, and they did, I admired them. They were brave. They were bold. They were dangerous and provocative because they cared enough to risk their own comfort for what they believed. But as quickly as it had come, it was gone. And as I grew into a young man, I kept peeking back in the rearview mirror, you know, to see what went wrong. For years, and even right now, obviously, I keep looking back. It's kind of like a bad car accident, you know? I can't look, but I can't look away. And then Reagan came into office and it was definitely over. He told Americans, you know, you can be proud of your ignorance again. That your ignorance is the thing that makes you great and powerful and American. The solar panels came off the White House roof. Everyone cut their hair. My friends started voting Republican. And those of us who once believed in the possibility of real, peaceful transformation of our society were supposed to be ashamed of what we had just been and what we had just believed. See, but I don't think there's anything to be ashamed of. I think that what happened in the 1960s needs to happen again. Because it was a revolution, in my mind, that never got finished. It was a truncated revolution, interrupted by wars for profit and obliterated by violent assassinations that drove Americans into cynicism and fear and shame and unrepentant materialism. And I'm not holding myself above it because I fell into it just like everyone else. And in a lot of ways, I'm still in it, trying to find a way to live in a world that mocks the values that I hold most dear. Because the people running our government right now have no interest in the people they were elected to serve. They are immoral. From spying to torture to assassination to wars of choice to the rapacious exploitation of the earth. And the kind of people that we used to call fascists, it was fashionable then, remember? People like Richard Nixon, and now it's Dick Cheney or Rupert Murdoch. They represent exactly that. The unholy alliance between business and government rallying against the interest of the people. So help me figure it out today. What happened to the 1960s? What happened to our convictions, our optimism, our fierceness? And how do we get it back? Now, I'm not talking about bringing back the style or the form, because honestly, I really don't want to grow my hair out again. But I'm talking about the spirit and the content and the political courage to confront the most powerful government in the world and challenge it to its core. Because I got to tell you, as much as I love watching Rachel Maddow, the Rachel Maddow show is getting old. We need a national movement of millions and millions to shift the balance of power away from those who have spent the last 35 years trying to destroy us and back towards where it belongs, the people. That's right, I said it, and I'll say it again. Power to the people. Power to the people. Power to the people. This is Mad as Hell in America. We'll be right back.